Here we go. Good morning, everyone. It's always such a wonderful privilege to be here with you. It feels like Richard and them always get me in when they're away, and I love it. In Afrikaans, we say, as he kat weg is, as he mice bar, so I can do what I want this morning, and I can't even get in trouble unless one of you records me, so. I'm kidding. Richard and them, it seems like they are away on an elders weekend, and it's just a privilege to be here with you. With my wife and our three kiddos, and then I've got a small team from Stellies who joined me. If you can wave quickly. About five of them came, and four and a half of them are single. So if you if you want to go meet them afterwards, or you want to introduce them to someone, you're more than welcome to do so. I'm not going to say who the half is. You can go figure that out, but four and a half of them. Anyway, it really is a wonderful privilege. You've got my notes from the AV, and just felt like there's something that I want to speak about today. And you'll see the title is to speak about true religion versus false religion. And it's so interesting. I want to actually start by just reading you a couple of lines from lyrics. It's from a song that many of you would know. And if you know anything about music, you know that music, it does two things. Firstly, it tells us what we believe, and also it shapes what we believe. Especially when it comes to Christian music, you pick up the theology of a generation when you listen to the music of a generation. So the type of music that you listen to would be able to tell me a lot about you and how you see God and view God. And same with me, the type of music that I listen to. And also what it does is as you listen to music, you know, it has the power to change your mood. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But it also has the power to change your theology, believe it or not. And I think many times, actually, music does that more than a sermon can do it. See, a sermon you listen to once, music sometimes we listen to over and over again, and it gets stuck in our minds, and many times it drops into our hearts. So I'm going to read you a couple of lines from music that is very popular at the moment, or it was a couple of years ago, this song. And I want to look at the theology of it a little bit critically because it speaks about religion. And in our day, religion has become something of a swear word. I don't know if it's just my generation or some of you a bit older, but there was this mantra in the church a couple of years ago, and it's still within the church that says, I'm not religious, I am in a relationship with God. I don't want religion, I want relationship. And I want to look at that critically today because I think that actually that is fundamentally flawed. And when we understand religion in the correct way, I think it has the power to actually change us. So these lyrics are by a band called United Pursuit Band. They're quite popular amongst the young people. I work with Stellenbosch 4pm and 6pm. Predominantly, I'd say probably two-thirds are students, and we've got about a third of them are young working, and then I've got about two or three families, and I praise the Lord for those families every day. we need them just to balance us out. So this song is called The Simple Gospel. I went to look at Spotify, which is a streaming service, and on Spotify it was listened to 38 million times. Now that's a lot for me, 38 million times. Oh, you've actually got the lyrics. Thank you. Didn't expect that. I'm sampling a few of the verses here. So it says, I want to know you, Lord, like I know a friend. I want to know you, Lord. And here's the kicker. So I'm laying down all my religion. Just going to come back to this in a moment because I think generally when we hear that, we agree with it, but I want to look at that in more detail today. I'm laying down. I used to think that I could box you in, but I'm laying down. I want to know you, Lord. Lord, I've been told to be ashamed. Lord, I've been told I don't measure up. Lord, I've been told I'm not good enough, but I will rejoice in the simple gospel. So let's look at the theology of this, and actually what I'm hoping is if we've got a wrong understanding, the goal of preaching is to change our minds, to change our hearts, so that we can come closer to God. So please try not fight me on this, but try and open up your heart to Scripture as we look at Scripture. And if you've got a wrong understanding, that you would allow the Lord to come and work in you, because ultimately what we're trusting for is a greater love for the Lord, if we understand the Bible properly. So by implication, what these verses teach us and the theology they reveal, but also set in us, is firstly that religion is bad. You say, I think it's neutral. Religious people don't know God, according to the song. Religious people don't know God like a friend. And let me just admit, I've listened to the song, I've sung this song, I enjoyed this song. But looking at it critically, I think it is flawed. Religion boxes God in, according to the song. Religion shames us. Religion teaches us that we don't measure up. And the gospel of God, the simple gospel, does not include the message of religion. Now, I don't know if I'm stepping on toes. I'm trying to read the room here, and I'm not 100% sure. I'm not sure, but again, I don't want to step on toes, but if Scripture steps on our toes, then we better say, we've got one of our elders, he says this a lot, he says, ouch and amen. And I think that's so brilliant. Scripture steps on our toes, we say, ouch and amen. Lord, I hear, I change. So, religion in our day and age is seen to be quite a negative thing, and we probably have to define religion a little bit, otherwise it doesn't make complete sense. But religion is a set of beliefs to which we attach ways of doing. So if I believe something, I've got traditions that I attach to my beliefs, all right? So it can be for any religion, but in our religious system, in our belief, I'm a Christian, so I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I believe that I can die to my sins. I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, and I believe in the same way I can be raised into new life. That is my belief. Then I believe in a God, that same God, that God who is Jesus Christ, who commands me to do things. And when I act out on those commandments, that is religion exemplified. It is me acting out on what I think this God wants from me. And then what we also do, and we're going to get into this better a bit later, we form traditions in order to obey this God. And I don't even think those traditions are wrong inherently. But in our day and our age, in our culture, everything that is tradition, everything that is something that you do when you don't feel like it, anything like that, is being religious and not being in a relationship with God. And I think that idea is fundamentally flawed. Let me take you to the Bible. Let's let the Bible speak and not me. James 1 verse 27, you can skip 26. It says, religion that is pure and undefiled. So I want to look at firstly how the Bible speaks about religion positively. The NLT says, pure and genuine religion before God the Father is this. And another way of saying this is, it is pure religion leads to things like the following: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So let me just stop here for a moment with us, and we look at the Bible and we say, the Bible takes religion firstly, and it makes it a neutral word. And it says it's just a thing. It's not good or bad inherently. We can't just chuck it out as being bad inherently. Tradition, we'll look at later, is not good or bad inherently. It is just a thing. But then the Bible puts something alongside religion. It says it is possible to have a religion that is pure and undefiled. And it's interesting, we see a true religion, a good religion, as the Bible speaks about it positively, will lead to righteous living. It says you will do things like look after orphans and widows because you will have a genuine religion, a good religion. We should check out that swear word and say it can actually be a normal, good word for us. And it will lead to you living a life that is unblemished. You wouldn't want to sin if you've got pure religion. I think of a story for me that just exemplifies this. I remember as a young Christian, it's so nice. When I come here, I feel young. Nothing to say about you guys, but I just feel younger. When I'm with our congregation, I feel old. Like, I feel like I'm one of the older ones. It's so good for me to actually come here and be amongst the wisdom that comes with grayness and age, you know? But when I was a really young Christian, I've been saved now. I've been serving the God for God. I've been serving God for about 17 years. I remember I was probably saved following God for maybe less than a year. And I was really in love with God. I could not care about traditions or like ways of doing things. I didn't walk into a church and think about anything else than just wanting to love the Lord. You know, when you're just that young and raw, and there's like nothing undefiled about you. You just want to be like Jesus, everything is for you. I was that guy. And I want to believe that I'm still trying to hold on to that. And I won't go into the details of the story, but I got a concussion. If you know me a little bit, it was my fault that I got the concussion. I got a concussion by someone hitting me against the head. But if you've known me long enough, that was my fault. Okay. I deserved the concussion, sort of. Anyway, I'm not going to go into the detail. I did something that I thought was right. Someone hit me against the head. I fell with my head against the pavement. I got a concussion. I was not in a good space. Like, my friends kept teasing me. I was all over the show. I couldn't remember things. They kept telling me that I'm writing my final maths paper the next day. And so I was quite stressed. But I remember that Sunday morning, waking up after just having a concussion. You don't really feel well after that. You've got a bit of a headache. You feel a bit dazed. You just feel like you want to rest. But there was just something in me of a pure love for God that wanted to do things that looked traditional or looked like tradition, but I just didn't care. I just wanted to be with God. I think it was good religion in this moment. And I went to church. I was part of a very traditional church back then, where I actually got saved into. And the morning services were not for young people. You didn't go to the morning service if you were a young person. They played the organ. It's quite traditional. You have to dress quite neatly, but I just had such a desire to be there, and I didn't care about the traditions. Just like, I just want to be with my God. And to this day, it was one of the most special moments I've had in the presence of God that I will never forget. Because I didn't care. I wasn't put off by saying, oh, this looks religious. It looks like tradition. It looks old school. It looks like it's controlling. I'm not going to do it. I just didn't care. I just wanted to be with my God. And if we can firstly just start by seeing that not everything that looks like tradition should be off-putting. Not everything where your heart doesn't jump at it should be off-putting. And I think for a younger generation, we only want to do something when we feel like doing it. But actually, there is a sense when we look at tradition and good religion and good religion that sometimes we are just to serve God because He is worthy, and we are to put things in our lives that are important, not because we feel like it, but because it's going to help us to love God. Am I making sense here? And we live in such a touchy-feely, airy-fairy generation that I think actually misses the beauty that religion and tradition can hold for us. And I know a lot of you will probably say amen on that. But because religion is a neutral word, the Bible speaks about it positively, but it also speaks about it negatively. And I've got a feeling that this song, although it is not 100% correct in the way that it frames this, I think if they change the words to say bad religion is bad, not just religion is bad, I think it would have been a really convicting song. And I think there's so much that God wants to teach us, because good religion being good is a great thing. Bad religion is the death of you. If you become religious in a bad sense, the Bible speaks so sternly against it. And it warns us so sternly that we are not to fall into bad religion, that we should be so scared and really say, Lord, come and evaluate my heart. Let me look at a scripture with you. This is such an interesting scripture. It's in Amos 5, verse 21 to 24. And as I go through this, note the traditions that they followed. Note the things that they did for God, maybe even thinking that they were doing a good thing. But note God's response. In the book of Amos, just to give you a bit of context, God is judging the nations. He's speaking against different nations through this prophet Amos, who was a farmer, and he also farmed with figs. So he was a normal guy, but he was also a prophet. God uses him to speak to different nations. And then, it's so interesting, in Amos 5, God turns to the nation of Israel, to the Jews. It's almost like he's turning to his own people, turning towards us. And what he wants to address is he wants to address bad religion. And just hear how stern God is when he does this. I'm going to read it twice, and I want to go back to it. I want to show you something out of this. God says, I hate. Now, God can hate. It's a strong language. It's emotive language. It's language that wants to get our attention, to say, come on, my people, shake out of your stupor. I want to show you that I'm serious about this. I hate all your show and pretense. The hypocrisy of your religious festivals and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harp. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. Again, he's alluding to the fact that because these people have fallen into bad religion, what flows from their lives is not righteousness. It's a telltale sign that we have fallen into bad religion. It's not righteousness. He says, I want you to rather be religious in a good sense, because righteousness will flow like a river, is the words used here. So let me go through this again. If you can put that scripture up, I want to show you something really interesting here. And this is so scary, because I want to show you that everything they're doing here was commanded by God for them to do. But even though God commanded it, he was not happy with them. And we need to ask ourselves why. Because we can come to a place of saying, God, but I'm doing everything that you've commanded me. I'm in church. I read my Bible. I worship. But still there's a way, if we look at this, that God can look at our outward acts. He can say, yes, I've commanded you to do this. And you are doing it, but not in the right way. And God can be displeased with us. Just look at this. I want to go through this quickly. I'm going to read it again. I hate all your show and pretense, the hypocrisy of your religious festivals. Exodus 23 verse 14 says about religious festivals. Each year, you must celebrate 3 religious festivals in my honor. Hang on, God. You told me to do this. You said 3 times a year, I need to have this tradition in place. I need to be religious. I need to follow your rules, your laws. You said I must do this. Let me skip over the next verses. And then you can go back to Amos 5. And your solemn assemblies. Not going to go there. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Leviticus 1 verse 3 to 4. If the animal you present as a burnt offering is from the herd, so God's giving them instructions. He's saying, you are to present these offerings to me. It must be a male with no defects. Bring it to the entrance of the tabernacle so that you may be accepted by the Lord. Let me just stop there. God is saying, if you do this, you will be accepted by me. God is commanding them to do this. He's saying, I want you to keep this tradition of bringing an offering to me, but still he is displeased. We need to ask ourselves why. Let me read Amos 5 again. Away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Let's look at Psalm 150, verse 1 to 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Listen to this. This is how we are to praise him. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Not that type of lyre, a different type of lyre. Praise him with, just checking if you're awake. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Imagine that. God's saying, come, praise me with your dancing. This is things that God is commanding us to do. This is not, if I can please ask you, God is giving us a command to praise him in this way. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with a clash of the cymbals. Praise him with the loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm hoping you're a little bit confused here. Just read you 3 scriptures where God commands them to keep certain things, certain traditions. God is saying, if you do this, I will be pleased with you. He's actually asking them to do it. In the same way, if we follow the commands of God, God will come to us. He will ask us to do certain things. He does ask us to give our lives. He does ask us to, I'm going to get into a few examples, to be a church, to give ourselves to community life, to give of our money, all of those things. And we can do all of those things. And just by doing it, we can think that we please God. But that is the trap of false religion. I think just because I'm doing it, God is pleased with me. And God says, no, just because you do the right thing doesn't mean you do it right. But you need to do the right thing right. And so the question is, when we come before God, when we come to serve the Lord, we are not to automatically think that God is pleased with us just because we come to church. We are not to think that God is automatically pleased with us when we pay our tithe. We are not to think that. We are to say, Lord, won't you come and evaluate my heart? Won't you come and evaluate the way that I do things and show me whether this is true religion, because we are still to keep it. We're not to throw it out, which is what many people do. I don't know if my heart's right. I'm going to throw it out. No, no, no. God, why don't you come and evaluate my heart? Why don't you come and look into my heart? When I come to church, when I worship you, when I open up my Bible, when I follow these traditions, won't you come and look into my heart? And please, you come with your sword and you show me whether I'm doing it out of a true religion that pleases you or whether I'm being displeasing to you when I follow you. I want that question to land with you. We're going to look at it now because God is gracious. And he sent Jesus, and Jesus gives us a way to look into our hearts. He actually tells us how to dissect our religion to see whether it is pleasing to the Lord or not. But before I get there, we need to stop there. I need this to sink in. I don't actually know how else to get this to sink in. But it needs to sink in that you coming here this morning, if God had to stop at each individual standing here this morning, and myself included, all of us standing here or sitting here this morning, we need to not automatically think that God is pleased with us in this moment. Yes, he's pleased with us in his son. Yes, we have salvation. Yes, I'm not speaking about that. But just because he's pleased with us in his son doesn't mean we are doing things in a way that puts a smile on his face. And when you think of the way that you worship God this morning, when you think of this week, the way that you treated your wife or whatever commandments that you decided to follow for the Lord, when you think of your relationship with the Lord, I want you to stand still and say there is a possibility that even though I'm doing the right thing, that God isn't 100% pleased with me. And I know, like I know, that if we love the Lord, we will say, Lord, if I'm displeasing you, help me. Help me because I want to displease you. I want to not displease you. Sorry, that was a... I want to please you. But it's almost like if God could stand in front of each one of us, I wonder what would it be in front of above our heads if God had to put a poster above our heads. Would it be, I look at you, my son, I look at you, my daughter, I see true religion? Or would it be, I see false religion? Again, we are in danger as Christians of falling under false religion, and it pulls us away from God, not towards him. It pulls us away from righteous living and not towards righteous living. So, can we just praise God for Jesus? Because he shows us how to dissect our hearts. He gives us a scripture that we're going to look at now that is so profound. It teaches us what to do to bring our religion before God and say, Lord, am I pleasing you? Am I not? And we're going to read it together. It's so, so great. And it says the following in Matthew 15, verse 3-9, but we're going to first do 3-6. Jesus replied, I'm just going to stop here and there, and I want to explain what's happening here. I'm hoping I'm not too technical this morning. Jesus replied, he's speaking to the Pharisees, because what they are doing, just to give you a little bit of context here, is they are accusing Jesus' disciples of not holding to the traditions that they set out. Specifically, they said, your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat a meal. And that was a tradition set out by the Pharisees. Now, I'm so guilty of that. I'm so sorry. My wife can tell you. But actually, they come to Jesus and they challenge him. They say, Lord, there is this tradition set out by the Pharisees. It's not in the Bible, but it's a tradition we've added to the Bible. And I want to look at that. That is not necessarily wrong. Sometimes we add things to the Bible to help us obey the Bible better. I'm going to look at that in a moment. So I'm going to show you positively where we see that. We don't go beyond the Bible. We don't go any further than the Bible. But we can put certain patterns in our lives to help us obey the Bible better. And the Pharisees, when they came to Jesus, they thought that that was what they were doing. They thought, Lord, we are obeying you. And Jesus comes to them and he flips it around and he says, well, actually, you guys are in the wrong here. Jesus replied, let me quickly just read you this verse, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15, to show you that all tradition is not wrong. So they weren't wrong per se, but Jesus challenges them. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold fast to the... I'm going to try that again. That really failed. I'm going to try my best here. You don't have it. Sorry, that's on me. Sorry. Can we get 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15? Do you have it or not? There we go. Okay. Let's try that together. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold fast to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. See, Paul said, I even taught you traditions. He's speaking about it positively. So he's not against traditions in a broad stroke, but he wants to come into this area of our lives and how we serve God, and he wants to rectify it. Matthew 15, verse 3 to 6. Jesus replied, "And why do you Pharisees, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God?" And then he gives an example, and we are to take examples out of our own lives, but Jesus gives such a good example here. He says, "For instance, God says," and what I want you to hear here is, this is a command by God. This is scripture. It's like there's no negotiating. Scripture, the Bible teaches us, if we love God, we will obey his commands. Jesus said that. We want to obey the commands of Jesus, right? So he's saying, here's a direct command that I've given you. For instance, God says, "Honor your father and mother." He's quoting Exodus 20. "Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father or mother must be put to death." He's also quoting Leviticus. So there's this command given. And then he goes on, "But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I vow to give to God what I would have given to you.'" So there's a command of God. You need to just follow me here, okay? I'm going to try and explain this as best possible. There's a command of God. It is direct. It is easy to understand. Honor your father and your mother. It's not difficult, amen? It's plain and simple. It's in the text. But then what they do is they bring God into the mix, but they form a new tradition to say, to not obey the commands of God fully, what I do is I make an excuse. I form a tradition. I put an excuse in my mind. I just twist it a little bit. I still keep God part of it. Meaning, I can't give it to my parents because I vowed to give it to God. Doesn't that sound exemplary? Right? We twist it, but what we are doing is we're forming traditions. We are doing things in order not to obey the commands of God. God's still in it in our minds, but we look for ways not to obey the commands of God. And that is the first thing. There's two things that the scripture teaches us. That is the first way in which religion comes into us. It wants you to look good on the outside. Look, everyone, I'm serving God. I'm doing the right things. But actually, it is just a farce. What you're doing is you're looking for ways not to obey the direct commandments of God. And that happens to us much more than we actually think. And then Jesus says, "In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for your own tradition." Now, I want to just explain this to you as best as possible, because this is so scary. We actually do this. If you are sitting here and I'm standing here, I've done this. I do this. Obeying God is not as easy. So sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it. Religion, bad religion, gets so ingrained in us. I find ways of not obeying God, and it just feels so right. It feels like I'm doing the right thing. I'll give you a quick example. We've got three children. Three little girls. They are 2.5 years old, and the one is 8 months old. And I joke sometimes and I say, we planned one out of the three. It's twins, right? So we planned one of the three. We planned one, we got two, and the third one was a surprise from God. So we're so happy, but we almost hit the line where we had three children under the age of two. They were 2 years and 2 months, and we had three little girls. Let me tell you, my life is blessed. And when I look at it, my life is blessed. But your life can be blessed and difficult. And so it's really difficult. So our house is permanently chaotic. Permanently. We clean the house, we sweep, we mop every single day, sometimes multiple times a day. And those little critters come in there for half an hour and it looks like nothing happened, right? It looks like we didn't clean. It is absolute chaos. So we're trying to teach them. I want to give them commands. Now, you'll follow my thought pattern here. I want to give them commands because I'm their father. It's authority God has given me. And I would love them to obey me because it is for their good, because I'm more happy when they obey me, all right? When the house is cleaner, we're happy and everyone wins. So just listen to me. So when they are in the garage and they've made a mess, we've made a little play area for them, I will come to them and I will say, "Lenka and Clara, Daddy's asking you, please clean up the mess." Sometimes I'll even sing a song. Opak date, opak. I'll do the whole thing, right? It's time to clean up the mess. You know, they are so creative. What they'll do is they'll play on my feelings. They'll say, "Daddy, let me quickly show you the beautiful thing that I built." I'm like, no, I'm not falling for that again. I told you, clean up. Okay? And then they say, oh, daddy, quickly, let me show you what we did at school today. I'm like, no. You are trying to find ways of not obeying me. You're not doing it in a nasty way, but you are trying to find ways of not obeying me. And we actually do that in our relationship with God. Let me give you a few examples that this might be applicable to us. What we do is it's slanted obedience. That's what bad religion does. It causes us, it must look okay on the outside. But when God evaluates, he sees, no, that's not true obedience. The Bible teaches us that we are to love our spouse and lay our lives down for our spouse. And that's difficult. My wife and I can tell you, when you don't sleep a lot and you fight, it's really difficult. And there's this pressure of life. But we know that we are to obey God. You are to honor your husband and your wife above yourself. But we can quickly make excuse and say something like, yes, I will do that, but we found a way that works for us. What we are doing there is you are trying to let the outside look clean while the inside is not really obedient to the Lord. Where we need to let the Lord come in and say, Lord, cut me. I want to grow in my obedience to you. I want to grow in my love for my spouse because that is a way of me honoring you. When God convicts us of sin and we know that we need to sort sin out in our life, there's a direct command of God. I want to come and sort out your heart. I want sin to be eradicated, but we think, let me find a way to make it look clean on the outside. Yes, Lord, I will eradicate my sin, but I'm going to do it on my own first before I share it with people. Anyone ever done that? I've done that. We're copping out. We want the outside of the cup to be clean, but the inside is messy. God's saying, no, I'm calling you to slanted obedience. I'm calling you to full obedience. That is what true religion looks like. Allow me in. Allow other people in. So I'm saying, no, Lord, actually, maybe I need to open up to other people as well. Worship. It's so great coming here with you guys and worshiping with you. Ethan, there's such a gift and an anointing on you, man. Like, I'm so excited for your future and just what God's going to do. I don't know. You guys will agree with me. How old are you? 17. It's really beautiful. I think God's going to use this man so powerfully. And what a privilege. And the lady you sang. I mean, what a beautiful voice, really. What a beautiful voice. It's so great when we come into a time of worship like that. But actually, you know what we can do? And I've done this so much. God, I read Psalm 150 earlier. You know, when God asks us for our worship, he asks us for our bodies. He asks us for our everything. That is true worship to God. It's expressing it with your entire being. That's not just happy clappy church. That's like Bible stuff. Lord, I worship you fully. I'm not reserved. I'm worshiping you like the Springboks won the Rugby World Cup. I'm worshiping you that way. I'm worshiping you with my everything. But what we tend to do is, especially when that doesn't fit our personality, we say things like, yes, Lord, I will command you. I will obey your commands, but only as much as fits in with my personality. Only as much as that people won't ask me, why are you not worshiping? Like, I won't do this, Lord, but I'll do this. Lord, I won't do this, but I'll do the TV all, like I'm doing a, you know. I look for ways to obey God, but in a slanted way because it doesn't suit my personality. No, God is asking us radical obedience. I want everything. Tithing is one thing I thought of. How often do we do this? Lord, I will give, but I can't always, and you see my heart. Like one of our elders, when we wanted to bring him onto eldership, this is a conversation I had with him. I said to him, friend, rather give because that belongs to God. And if we need to put you on the pantry, we put you on the pantry. That's the way we operate. We will care for you. If you give and you can't sort yourself out, like you don't have food on your table, that's why the body of Christ is there. But first give to God and we will help you if you don't have bread. That 10% you gave, we'll give it to you in food. I don't care. But the principle is I give. But we look at slanting obedience to God. Lord, I will when I can. Lord, I will when there's leftover at the end of the month. See, on paper, on the outside, again, I'm laboring the point. On the outside, it looks good. The question is, what about the heart? Are you fully obedient to God? Attendance at church and community. I mean, there are reasons why we sometimes can't come. I know this. I'm not trying to adjust the outside here. That's bad religion. I'm trying to show you that we sometimes do it because it gets people off our case and we think it gets God off our case. That's not the case. Says we sometimes say, Lord, I will attend, but I've also got to balance my life. Lord, I will attend. I will be part to the best of my ability, but I've also got children and they've also got sport. Those things are facts of life. It is true. But sometimes we don't want to give God everything fully, so we look for excuses. The question is, if I stand before you today, if God stands before you today, is your life an open book to Him? Are you really saying, Lord, I will obey what the cost, because my heart is more important than what it looks like on the outside? And as we do that, God transforms us, and this is the gospel. He transforms us from the inside out. We say, I will let the inside look all shiny. But the outside look all shiny, but the inside remains unchanged. Religion will keep you from God being able to change your heart. That is such a scary thing. The scripture goes on, and I'm going to end with this. In Matthew 15, verse 7 to 9, then Jesus rebukes them, and he says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, for he wrote, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands of God. What God is saying here is not only obey me with your heart. He's saying obey me with your heart and with your lips. That's actually what he's getting at. We want to throw it either to the one side or the other. Say, Lord, I'm obeying you in my heart. I don't have to obey you with my lips. That's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying true religion is when you obey me with both. It looks like this. When I come to worship, this is something I've had to teach myself. Because my personality, I don't like Josh Jen worship. I don't like it. I don't like it when someone speaks in tongues in a church. I don't like, there's many things I don't like about this church. Let me just be honest. Don't record this. Cut this out. Don't let Andrew hear. I'm joking. There's many things I don't like in my personality, but I think God likes it. And because God likes it, that supersedes what I like. And so what I do when I come to a time of worship, I'm telling you many times, last night, we had a horrible night. I did not sleep last night. My wife slept less. I do not come here frothing with love for God, although I should and I want to. In my heart of hearts, I do want to. But I come and I'm tired. And my personality doesn't feel like this. But because I want to honor God, I say, Lord, I'm going to come and I'm going to worship you. I'm going to give myself. I'm going to try and encourage people. I'm going to try and pour my life out for your kingdom. That's what I want to do. But Lord, all the while, as I force my lips to it, I'm going to get my heart in line. Because I want to worship you with my heart and with my lips, with my actions and with my being. And I bring myself to that point. Being religious is when you just come and you're like, I've done my duty, I can go home. That is not the type of religion God is calling us to. That is not religion that is going to lead to righteous living. It is not religion where God will change us. No, we need to come and say, Lord, no longer only the outside. Lord, I want to give you my everything. I want to give you my heart. Lord, when I stand in worship, Lord, I think actually some of us need to repent today and say, Lord, when I stand in worship, God, I'm sorry for only giving you my body, but not giving you my heart. Some others need to say, Lord, I'm sorry for thinking that I've given you my heart, but my lips have not followed. I haven't given you my body in all areas. And I think some of us need to come before God and say, Lord, maybe bad religion has slipped into me. Even just a little bit. I'm not obeying you fully. I'm trying to find ways of only doing the heart or only the lips.